Okay, so again, thank you everybody for coming virtually. Tonight is the 18th Yahrzeit site for my father, Moshe Mendelman Shneur Zalman. So the learning tonight should be Ilui Nishmaso. And I was preparing the shiur last week, and then when I found out that I was going to be in quarantine, so I decided to add a few additional points. So the first thing I wanted to discuss, since it's Nogea, well, what's the din this year about can a person hear a Megillah reading, or really any other mitzvahs, over Zoom? So, the quote from the Pesachim from Rav Shechter, Shlita, that he says, if it's interesting, if the restrictions are, I'll read you where he writes this down, that you can't make one minyan for everybody, meaning just physically, you don't allow, so you only allow 10 people. If you see in the first source, it says, "Bekama yiros, many cities, mimshalah rak marshal shiu, asar beis knesses ba'asachas." You can only have 10 people in a shul at one time. Mipnei sakana samagefa, because of the danger of the pandemic, you can only have 10 people. So what do you do? So what are you going to get? You have 70, 80 people. You're going to make 7 minyanim, 8 minyanim. How are you going to do this? V'lo yosi, you can't get more than people. You're going to have to make many different readings of the Megillah. B'shasad chak godol. In a time of extreme pressing circumstances, like we are this year, mevor b'shulchan aruch, sof simin, tof reish tzadi beiz, mishnah berurah, she'esher l'smoich l'hakel likro Megillah mibe'er pur mibe'od yom. Right, so you can read it during the daytime in the afternoon. So, thank God we don't have to necessarily rely upon that. They did discuss in these different online discussions, different poskim are weighing in. What's the preferred option if I could hear the Megillah live, but after Plag HaMincha, was still daytime, or if I could hear it over Zoom after Tzeis HaKochavim? So it seemed to me that the preferred preference is to hear it live at an earlier Zman rather than hearing it over Zoom if one doesn't have to. But
what's the point of doing both? Do both, then you get the best of both worlds.
How's that the best of both worlds?
If you are able to, let's say you're able to get the Zoom after the Zman and you got the live before, so you have a tziruf, you get the best of.
Yeah, that reminds me of the Briskers. He's like running around Yerushalayim all morning on Parsha Zachar to make sure they heard like 10 different types of Havara for how to pronounce Parsha Zachar. You know, going through all the different ones. I'm not sure you have to do that. If you hear it, you're Yotze. But look at this. He writes that you could hear it over the phone or Zoom or another online platform. So, if you need to, hopefully we'll speak to Rabbi Davis. We'll try to get a Zoom recording live during one of the lanings in Shul this year. But that does work. It is not the top priority. I'm hesitant to say, oh, Zoom is fine. I'm like, oh, I'll stay home. No, if you can go to shul, you should go to shul. If you can't, if you're not allowed to, not allowed to leave your house, then there are other, that it would be an option. Okay, that's just a little of a kunz. I wanted to begin with a Dvar Halacha. Another Halacha. This is probably one of those famous Halachas in Hilchas Purim. Ein Medak Mimos Purim. We're not so careful about who we give to on Purim. Elakol mi sheposit yado, lito nosten lo. Anybody who sticks out his hand to for a thing, you give to him. We don't look. You know, the rest of the year, we're careful. You know, are you really worthy? Can I please see a letter vouching for the authenticity of your cause? But on Purim, that goes out the window. And the Bachar know this. Rabbi Reichman, or maybe his son, Rabbi Zevi Reichman, told me that when Rabbi Reichman goes to Borough Park, he brings one of those rolls of nickels, because every little kid comes running up. No, you can't. I'll do every kid. You can give him a coin, give something, but that's the halacha. But to understand, what's the hashkafa behind this? To understand a little bit, what is this? You know, this is a remarkable halacha, that anybody who sticks out their hand, we give them. Okay, and to add to this, a little bit of a puzzle is the fact that we don't actually call it Sadaka Leniyim. We don't say we're giving Sadaka, we call it Matonos Levionim. We're giving gifts. I'm really giving Sadaka. Why is that called the giving a gift? So when Purim, we find, again, first of all, this idea that everybody gets. We don't ask someone, we're not so medakdek, as the Shulchan Aruch tells us. Anybody who sticks out your hand, give to. So the Novi Yirmiyahu, I think it's brought down the end of more first parak in Bava Kama, he cursed people. The curse that he gave was that you should give tzedakah to fake aniyim, to people who aren't really deserving of it. That's like a bad thing. You want to always try to make sure that your tzedakah funds are going to a real needed person. But we don't do that on Purim. And we don't call it tzedakah, we call it a matana. So to try to understand a little bit more the hashkafa behind this, let's start with a pasuk in Tehillim. Yeshiv oylem lefnei Elokim, chesed ve'emes, min yitzteru. May the world sit before Elohim, before God, but who's going to perpetuate kindness and truth? Chesed and emes. That's the pasuk in Tehillim. And on this, there's an unbelievable medrash. I'm going to read you the following medrash. I'm personally not scrolling down yet because you gotta be buckled up to hear a medrash like this. This medrash, if you would ask me, if this wasn't me recorded, I would say this is like the Communist Manifesto. This is like Karl Marx could not ask for a better medrash than to support his hashkafa. Look at this. It's a medrash Tanchum on Parshas Mishpatim. Comes along, Omer David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. King David says to Hashem, Ribon ha'olam, Ribon shel master of the world, Yeshiv olam lefnei Elokim. That's quoted in our first part of the pasuk, right? You see that? I can just kind of on top and out. Yeshiv olam lefnei Elokim. Let the world sit before Hashem. Tiyasha olamcha b'shaveh. Make everybody equal in your world. Equality, fraternity, liberty. Make everybody equal, says David HaMelech. Ha'ashir v'aniyim. Get rid of wealth. Get rid of poverty. We'll make one system. Communism 101. David HaMelech. Here's the best. If they knew how to learn, they would bring this medrash. Amar lo, Hashem says back to David HaMelech, in Cain, if that's true, chesed ve'emes v'yitzruhu, then who's going to do chesed? Who's going to do emes? David, you got a great idea over here. King David says, I want the whole world to be equal. Okay, but where's the chesed going to come from? Where's the emes going to come from? Im hayakulam ashirim o'aniyim, if everybody's rich or everybody's poor, miyuchalasos chesed. Who's able to do chesed? So it comes out from this medrash that when David asks, why you make poor people? Why are there rich people in the world? We ask this question. You know, anything, why do some people have more than others? Whether that's in a financial realm, whether that's in an intellectual, some people are brighter than others, some people are smarter than others, some people have better street smarts, some people are more emotionally intelligent, some people have better health than others. Why is there a world of have and have nots? Why is that? Why does Hashem do that? So what comes out from this medrash, Hashem is telling David, because if everybody had, or if everybody didn't have, there would be no givers and takers. And that's not how I want my world to run. Hashem tells David, I want my world to run where there's a mashpia and there's a mekabel. There's a giver and a taker. Everything in this world is like that. Everything in this world, there's the boss, there's the employee. Right, there's the teacher, there's the student, there's the husband, there's the wife, there's these relationships, the sun and the moon, the whole world, the whole universe is set up on this fabric that the whole world has to be with a giver and a taker. With that being said, I'm going to share with you a beautiful idea that I saw from Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. He says, from God's perspective, there's no qualitative difference between the one who gives, the one who takes, between the wealthy man and the poor man. Sometimes the pauper may be morally, spiritually, intellectually far superior to the millionaire. So why does he have to receive the other give? It's only because God wants there to be kindness in the world. Some contribute to that goal by giving, and some by taking. That's an amazing thing. If unfortunately a person is not well, and everyone should have a refuah shlema, but if a person is in a situation where they are in need of tehillim, what they're doing is they're giving. The chol of themselves is giving. They're making it into an opportunity where others can provide a chesed for them by davening, by making meals for the family, by saying tehillim. They themselves become a goreim for more chesed to be in the world. Some contribute to that goal by giving and some by taking. From the divine perspective, even the taker is a giver. And even the giver is a taker. The givers are recipients in the sense that God gives them everything they have, including the capacity to give. The recipients are givers in the sense that through their taking, they allow for perpetuation of life and for kindness to flourish in the world. Just like in the ecological system, each species is so intertwined, so too in our universe. We had the privilege of hearing today from Chaim Miller. Fantastic, wonderful guy, big Talmud Chacham. He's the one who put out the Kol Menachem, the Gutnik Chumash. He had a he wrote a biography on the Lubavitch Rebbe. I think it's called Turning Judaism Outward. And the kids were asking him questions, and they asked him what's the most important Hasidic Hasidic idea. And he says, I'm hesitant to answer this question because it kind of would negate all the others. But he ended up quoting from Tanya, Perek Lamed Beis, the Lev, chapter 32, which we've said many, many times in Shul, that the idea is that we're all interconnected. And again, if we think like this way, there's a piece of me inside of everyone else, and there's a little piece of everyone else also that's inside of me, because I myself am an Olam Katan. So we realized that this is the way Hashem did it. That's what David was saying to Hashem, and Hashem's answer is no, I want there to be Chesed and Emes in my world. Every person in God's world view is a giver. It's only the way that we give is different. Some give by giving, and some give by taking and allowing the giver to give. As far as God is concerned, poverty is another form of wealth. Imperfection, another form of perfection. Darkness is just another form of light. It's not a difference between great and small, but between great and great. Or, rather, between great as great and great as small. But each one of us, who we are, fulfill the ultimate goal of God creating the world to reflect Him. To reflect that unity, to reflect that Selam Elohim, to reflect that piece of that Chelik Elkal Mimal that's inside of each one of us. So now, on Purim, that's why we don't ask. Again, I'm just going to scroll back up for a minute. We start with this halach over here. Kol Shaposhet Yad Alitel Noistinlo, we give to anybody. Because on Purim, it's not about asking, is this guy worthy? Is this a valid tzedakah cause? No. Finahapachu. Who am I? Am I worthy of giving? Who am I? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me something. It's not tzedakah. It's not tzedakah on Purim. It's a matana. It's a gift. Because sometimes the gift is giving, and sometimes the gift is done by receiving. But that's why we call it matanos levyonim. That's why we don't make any cheshbonos. Because the whole year I have to find out about Yenim, is he worthy or not? Today, Purim, I got to find out about me. Am I worthy of doing it? And I think that's a beautiful idea to think about and to frame our proper approach to others year-round, but especially on the holy day of Purim that's coming up soon. So I wanted just to bring out that point in terms of how we view the act of giving and why we don't care at all when it comes to the Yom Tov of Purim. Okay. So as tonight is my father's yahrzeit, he had a connection to the Sefer Shem Yishmuel. So I wanted to do two pieces from the Sefer, and again connecting them to these inyanim as well. So this is going on the idea of having a seuda shnas tuf resh ayin aleph. The Shem Yishmuel was a Chassidish Rebbe. He was the son of the Avnei Nezer, who was the son-in-law of the Kotzker. So he says like this, Omar Rava, Sudas Purim she'achlo belayla lo yotzidei chavoso. Gemara over there is talking about the requirement of having the meal. It says, if you eat the meal at night, okay, it's you're not yotze. Near the rock she'en yotze bo yidei chavoso, aval mitzvah ika. So it says, yeah, you, there is a mitzvah to do it, but you weren't yotze actual requirement of having a seuda. This year, everyone's like trying to figure out what they're going to do. So we'll do what the mechaber, the Ramah writes. We're going to have our seuda early in the morning. Hine inyan seuda hu ke'ein ma'ash matzinu she'osin seuda legomer shel Torah. Like you think about it, usually Jews don't need an excuse to eat. But what do we do when we make a siyum? We have a seuda. You make a yahrzeit seuda. You make a siyum. We eat a lot. Why? Ki acher gemar shel mitzvah bo ha'ora elokis utzrichim la'sois lo chizuk v'kiyum shelo tisparid v'zeh nasa adei seuda. So we want to make some sort of permanence to the mitzvah we did. We want to celebrate. We want to acknowledge. We want to live and connect in a deep way to that mitzvah that we just did. We learned Torah, but how am I going to keep that with me? That's done, says the Shem Yishmuel, through having a seuda. When you make a seuda, it sort of strengthens that which came before it. And it brings a raya for this. Ke'enj pirsh Rashi, parshas kedoshim, gabe lo selich rochil. Not to go around as a gossiper. Not to go around gossiping. Shetargumo lo tichul kutzin, shebachila oisin chizik devreim kumam. What does it mean? That after a gossiper would go from house to house and tell everybody what they saw, after that was done spreading, nowadays you can sit home with your little device in your pocket, and you could spread all sorts of rumors. But no, back in the day, you had to actually schlep around and go from house to house to tell people all the gossip. So what did they do? Says Rashi, they would make a seuda afterwards. Now that I just told you this juicy piece of gossip, how, you know, such a yenta, this person's such a shlamazel, let's break bread over it. Eating together makes a connection, but it's a chizik. It strengthens that which just happened. So on the one hand, if you just did a mitzvah, you make a seuda afterwards. If you just learned a masechta, you make a seuda afterwards. If you just spoke lashon hara, you're gonna make a seuda afterwards to give strength to that. That's why explains the Shem Mishmu why we make a seuda on Purim. She'acher his galus ha'oros ha'gadol b'kriyas ha'magillah. Now this is brought down in all the svarim. Svarim HaKadoshim point out that there's a tremendous light that comes into a person during the actual time of the reading of the Megillah. So after that's happened, after we've read the Megillah, ki Megillah kishma nizgalin elam, like the name sounds, when a person Megillas Esther is to be Megala, reveal that which is Hester, which was hidden. So things that are secret become revealed through the readings of that. That's what he says, these lights become revealed through them. Ki Yedua is known, Kisvei HaRizal, for those who learn Kabbalah. Tzrichin Lasos Chizik. After this tremendous light has come into our lives through the reading of the Megillah, we have to be Mechazik this. We have to hold on to it. Shishwa Oros. So that's why we make the seuda for this, in the sense that we can hold on to it, that what we were accomplishing through our reading should not be something that's just easy come, easy go. And since the main kriyas of the Megillah is during the daytime, that the fact that we read at night was a later addition, the Gemara tells us. Brings Tosos to Ikra Parsumanisa Havi Bikriyas Diyomo. Hare Bivadai Ha'oras Mizgalan Aide Kriyas Megillah Biyom Yosir Nal Mishalaila. So since the main Megillah reading is during daytime, there's more of a relations happening during the daytime, which is fascinating. Because Rabbi Davis and I were just schmoozing a bit about the numbers of people. More people in America, for sure. For sure. More people get all psyched up and worked up for the nighttime Megillah reading. The daytime, people go, but everyone's in their costumes. It's geschmack. But the really, according to halacha, it's even on a higher level. The actual Kriyas HaMegillah, the main one, is the daytime reading. So we should get just as excited and just as pumped up for the Kriyas HaMegillah during the daytime. Right? Okay. Hari bivadei ha'oros megalan al yedei Kriyas HaMegillah b'yom yosir ne'el ha'misha layla inkein la'osun ha'oros shel yom tzrichim lasos chizik b'yom davka achar Kriyas HaMegillah shel yom. That's why we make the seuda afterwards. But you didn't get the chiv of the mitzvah of seuda by eating it at nighttime. You haven't really got the main yet. But it's about keeping on to them. So in a sense, what the Shem Mishmul is teaching us is a life lesson. How do we get good things to last? How do we hold on to moments of inspiration, moments where we feel inspired, enlightened, we feel passionate, but we want to do something? You have to do something tangible to hold on to it. So Jews, what do? We eat. Mikol Chayim. We do physical things because that brings it down, so to speak. Sometimes we have a very exalted concept, but we don't bring them down into the. There is a pasuk in, we say in davening, Yismichu Hashemayim Visogil Haaretz. So if you look at the four words, Yismichu Hashemayim Visogil Haaretz. So this is a Torah from the Radziner. He writes that the first two letters, Yismichu Hashemayim, are the first two letters of Hashem's name, Rosh Hashanah, Yud, followed by a Hey, Yismichu Hashemayim. And then the last two letters, Visogil Haaretz, are the Vav and then the Hey. So when you look at the words, the Rosh Yitevus, those four words, Yismichu, Hashemayim, Visagart, spells out Hashem's four-letter name, Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. But he goes deeper and he says like this. When we think about physical things that we do, most physical actions we have a Yud and a Hey in the word. Shena, sleeping. achila, eating, shtia, drinking, bia, any one of these physical actions has a yud hei. So in the yud hei, those types of things, it's yismichu hashamayim, right? Visogil haaretz. So we have to make the physical things that we're doing, the achila and the shtia, we have to make them heavenly. Yismichu hashamayim. Connect our physical things, our eating and drinking, bring that up to shamayim. Visogil haaretz, the vav and the hey. Last word, bring other things down to earth. The vav and the hey are, in other words, that you're not necessarily so physical. Mitzvah, Torah, avoda, those are all words that have the vav and the hey. So the vav and the hey stands for visogil haaretz. Bring your Torah, bring your mitzvah, bring your avoda down into the earth. So the physical things elevate them up to Shemayim, and the spiritual things brings them down into earth. And that works very well with the Shem Yishmuel. We take the physical idea of the Seuda after the Megillah to bring it down, to make it real. There's no more real day in our life than Purim. It's so physical. There's no Isra Malacha. Everything goes. Mamash, everything goes on Purim. So I want to share with you another teaching from the Shem Yishmuel. And maybe I'll just read it over outside. But this is the Shem Yishmuel says something that's very powerful. There's a clip going around of Elimelech Biderman where he quotes this vort as well. It says, "V'boker emor lemelech." In the morning you should say to the king. So says the Shem Yishmuel, what do you mean, say to the king? You just talk to the king? No. You dive into the king. You request from the king. You beg from the king. Why is it say just this like just talk to him? So he explains that a fascinating thing happened. Quotes a Gemara in the Megillah that implies that Haman had been elevated even higher than Achashverosh. Haman was on a high madrega that he made like a bima, a little what's it called? A platform to stand on. And when Haman was made, it was higher even than Achashverosh's. That's why Mordechai, when he wanted to be Mevatel Gezeira, he couldn't just go directly to Achashverosh because Haman was higher than Achashverosh. So Haman is higher than the king. So when Haman became higher than the king, Kevyachol, if we could say such a thing, so then it's just Emor. You just talk to the king. You don't request. You don't ask. You just say something to the king, like you're talking to a friend. So we know, V'nahapachu, that what happened, everything that belonged to Haman came over to the Jews. Everything. So if that's true, says the Shem Yishmuel on Purim, we have such a koach to speak to the king, to talk to the king. But he says that it has to be done through sincerity. Let me skip to the second paragraph for a second. Mikan kol ish maskil yasim alivo. Any intelligent person will realize the following. When everything was converted and we got everything that belonged to Haman, every single year on Purim, this Rishima, this impression, this thing that was embedded into the fabric of time comes back again. V'az b'koch kol ish Yisrael leimor lemelech melech hamalachim hakodesh baruch hu. You can say to the king, he brings like tzaddikim, a tzaddik goes there. Every single person, every single shlamazel, every single nudnik, every single lo yutzluch, every single fill in your favorite Yiddish word. Every single one of us has the koach of tzaddik goyzer v'kayim. And that's an amazing koach that we have on Purim. But we have to daven with sincerity. We have to want it. We have to want it as badly as Haman wanted to destroy the Jews, Chas v'Shalom. We have to want that. Every single Jew can find a Yeshua on Purim. This is a beautiful, powerful, a little bit frightening insight from the Shem Yishmuel, that we have such a koach, that we can daven, and our tefillos are so powerful on the day of Purim. But we have to have sincere tefillos. And there, every single one knows somebody who needs a Yeshua, somebody to daven for. They asked the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Nosson Tzvi Zatzal, what should I be davening for on Yomim Neroyim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? say to it, somebody else. Should be davening on Yeromim Norim for somebody else. On Purim, we should be davening for someone else, in addition to ourselves. We should be davening for someone else as well. So many people need so many Yeshuas. And just to conclude, as Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Rimon has a nice idea, which in my quarantine resonated well with me. The Jewish people have celebrated Purim in harder times than now. And despite the mixing of crying and joy, the ability of the Jewish people to rejoice in Purim has given it the special ability to feel Hashem's love toward everywhere and anytime. God willing, we'll all rejoice greatly on Purim this year. We'll feel Hashem's love for us that He's shown throughout the generations, in particular with our generation. From the power of our rejoicing, we'll hopefully receive the strength to grapple with Corona as well in the best possible manner, which God willing will pass in the near future. Although our rejoicing this year will be minimalized in the external public sphere, we can view this as an opportunity to hone and develop our sense of internal spiritual joy. If we succeed in our task this year, and hopefully Hashem will reciprocate and allow us to celebrate fully next year without restriction, limitations, Purim Sameach, wishing everybody a Freilichin Purim.